great to see everyone. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's where I'd like to begin this morning, page 1363. If you're using that black Bible under the seat in front of you, 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're studying Paul's eschatology here on Sunday mornings. Basically, we're looking at what the Apostle Paul taught about the last day scenario. How are things going to play out at the end of the world? Are we living in the last days? Those are questions very much on people's minds, and the Bible does give us answers. Father, we ask that you would bless this time now in your word. Thank you that you do give answers as to timing. What to expect. Lord, I pray that we would live with courage, strength. Stay true to who you are and what your word tells us. Bless our time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we spent a lot of weeks in this series already in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we looked at all of the characteristics of what secular society is going to be like in the last day scenario. And we saw that the secular, mainstream, general, everyday society of the last day is going to be messy. We saw that it's going to be a godless society. It's going to be narcissistic, greedy, anti-family, hedonistic, hateful. The last day secular society is going to be in a lot of trouble, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse the closer we get to the last days. But what about the church? What about the condition of the church as we approach the last days? What will be happening in Christian land as we get closer and closer to the last days? Well, things are not going to be good for the Christian culture. Look what Paul writes in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from" what? The faith. Very clearly, in the latter times and last days, people will depart from the faith. And literally in the Greek, and the intent here is people will abandon the orthodox, biblical, true Christian faith. People who will look like they were a part of it will leave it. They'll forsake it. They'll depart from it. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when he's speaking of the day of the Lord that's coming in the future, a day of judgment, he says, "For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first." An apostasy, a falling away from true biblical Christian faith. That is a sign of the last day society: abandonment from the true Christian orthodox faith. And I wish I could say that we could do something to stop it. I wish I could say, let's just stop it. Let's make sure that never happens. But look how confident Paul is in this prophecy. In verse 1, he says, "The Spirit expressly says," or "explicitly says." Paul says, "The Holy Spirit explicitly said to me in the last days, there's going to be an apostasy. There's going to be a falling away from the true Christian church." Now, do we see that happening today? Do we see a falling away? You know, there are a lot of mainstream Christian denominations that have completely abandoned true biblical Christianity. There are a lot of churches that have embraced cultural things and moral things to be more relevant culturally than to embrace and remember and establish what biblical traditional Christianity teaches. There is a falling away. Seems like every other month or so, some prominent Christian leader or pastor, mega church pastor or worship leader, some famous worship leader or famous Christian musician announces on Facebook how they're leaving Christianity. There's always been those that who have appeared to be a part of the church and then leave the church later, and you've seen that throughout church history, but as the last days, that'll become a very common type of thing. And there'll be a lot of pressure for us to leave the true Christian faith. Now, why is there going to be that type of falling away in the last days? Two reasons. Number one, in the last days, there will be massive spiritual deception, massive falsehood being taught, many, many false teachers on the scene teaching garbage, teaching lies in secular society, and unfortunately it will enter within the walls of many churches. Highly efficient and effective and skillful false teachers. Look what Paul says. Verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. Why? Because they will be giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received. Look at that. The last days, a lot will depart from the faith because they'll give heed to all this false teaching. And you notice how these false teachers are characterized by Paul. It says, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. These are doctrines, these are teachings, these are teachers that will be inspired and empowered by demons. Supernatural, false teachers spreading all kinds of garbage and being very effective and leading many astray. It says that these teachers will speak lies. Verse 2, they will speak lies. Blatant liars. That which the Bible would put forth is true, they would put forth the very opposite. They speak lies in hypocrisy, it says, verse 2. Now, here's the thing, you know. These false teachers will themselves be hypocrites. See, they'll teach false teaching. They'll tell other people how to do spiritual stuff. And yet they themselves won't follow their own false teaching. So the example that Paul would give here, they'll teach things like, well, you can't marry, or you have to abstain from certain foods. A lot of false teachers like to come on the scene and give you their religion and their list of rules and regulations. Do this, check this off, and you'll be godly like me, although they're not doing it. They're hypocrites. It's a classic, do as I say rather than do as I do, and doesn't that drive you nuts? Isn't that disgusting? One of the most disgusting things I've seen is how some of the leaders during this pandemic have been caught on film at their gatherings without their masks. If you believe it, you'll do it. Public or private, right? Or the climate change thing where the people that think that the climate, you know, global warming, and there they are in their private jets. and their SUVs that guzzle all that gas. And you hear it and you see it and it disgusts you. Hypocrisy is never good. So you have false teachers who will be liars but total hypocrites. It says in verse 2, they'll have their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Think of that. Seared with a hot iron. The idea is cauterizing. What do we do to something when we cauterize it? We burn it, right? We deaden it. No more feeling. These false teachers will have dead consciences. They won't be able to feel any type of remorse, no matter what the consequence is for their teaching. Just hardened, hypocritical, demonically inspired and empowered false teachers, effectively teaching a bunch of junk, leading a lot of people astray. And many will fall away in the last days. Now, what kind of false doctrines will they be teaching? Well, the same false doctrine that false teachers have taught from the beginning, only it will escalate more. False teachers have always gotten Christian salvation wrong. You know, the Bible says that we are saved one way. How? Through faith in what Jesus Christ did. The Son of God who left heaven, came to earth, died on the cross for our sins, rose again on the third day. And if you place your faith in him, you are saved, you're forgiven, your life is changed. Amen? The false teacher comes along and says, no, you get saved by keeping my rules. Let me tell you who you can and can't marry. Let me tell you what food you can eat or not. On and on and on. And they create their own religions and their own ladder, their own hoop structure. False teachers have always attacked the person and work of Jesus Christ. Many, many false teachers will come on the scene and continue to do that. Many false teachers in the last days will come on the scene claiming to be Christ, taking the place of Jesus. In fact, Jesus himself was asked, what will the signs of the end of the world look like? According to Jesus, Matthew 24, first on the list, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Matthew 24, Jesus goes on to say, false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Do you understand? There are supernatural, false, demonically inspired teachers coming on the scene who will do tricks. They'll have their own miracles and signs and wonders. And many will be led astray. Many. The Bible talks about false teachers who come on the scene and preach a carnal, fleshly, worldly type of Christianity. And I believe that's a very popular thing right now. Many false teachers have turned the Christian faith into a carnival. This thing where you receive Christ and then you get whatever you want. You live wealthy, healthy, and wise. You live in Disneyland. Life is nothing but flowers. I mean, I've even heard some of you trust Jesus and you'll never have a bad hair day again. I mean, as superficial and ridiculous as that. And a lot of Christian, quote unquote, Christian churches have bought that, where the service is all about buzz and entertainment and excitement and flamboyancy and the new experience and entertain people and give people a spiritual buzz. Give them a high, make them feel better about themselves. And don't expect any problems And you know what happens? There are problems in life, even for Christians. I have Jesus in my life, and I have abundant life. Amen, don't you? But that doesn't mean we live in Disneyland. That doesn't mean that we don't encounter difficult things in life. Being a Christian nowadays is being in a spiritual war. Gang, it's a fight. And people get told, well, it's Christianity is just all this for you, and you're going to have everything you ever want. And the first time they encounter trouble, what happens? They're disillusioned. They fall away. There are many false teachers that will come on the scene preaching that brand of Christianity, and many will fall for it. One of the most prominent false teachings out that will really pick up steam as we get closer and closer to the last day is this idea of all-inclusiveness. All religions lead to the same, you know, all gods lead to the same heaven, right? And you just, it doesn't matter what you believe. You just, oh, you can just pick your God, pick your flavor. Choose what you want. You'll get there. Is that true? Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And he deserved to say it because of what he did. The price he paid so that you and I could be saved and forgiven. So you're going to have a lot of effective false teaching. Massive spiritual deception. That's one of the reasons. Now there's another reason I'd like you to see. And that's, go to the book just to the right, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Man, read this, verse 1. Paul says, I charge you therefore, speaking to Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, you have this A team of false teachers. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you have the listeners. You have people that have become very gullible, naive, easily manipulated, easily led astray. I mean, that's incredible. Verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know what that means? In the Greek, literally, there's coming a time when the people that sit in church, there will be people who sit in churches who will not tolerate or permit sound doctrine. The Bible will be outdated, thrown out, offensive. No time for it. Instead, it says, according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. No biblical doctrine. Instead, many will heap up for themselves, enlist, recruit, raise up, surround themselves with teachers who will tell them what they want to hear, according to their own desire. They've got itching ears. The idea is these are people who want to be tickled. Tickle me. In my hearing, entertain me, excite me. And so you'll have people who want preachers who fill sports arenas by telling people what they want to hear about their money or their politics, by entertaining them or by proclaiming bizarre doctrines that appeal to the curiosity only. And many, many will want to hear that type of stuff. And there'll be many, many good teachers who will give away that kind of stuff. Kind of an entertainment factor here. Kind of a what makes me feel good. What tingles my ear? What piques my interest? What satisfies my curiosity? You know, it's interesting. If you read the Old Testament and you read what happened with the nation of Israel, God's people, and eventually God judged his people. And a lot of what was happening with them, you can see that's happening in so, quote unquote, Christian America today. But a couple things were going on with Old Testament Israel. Right before they got judged, Jeremiah the prophet said that an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely and the priests rule by their own power. And my people love to have it so. I mean, false prophets, spiritual leaders having their way with people, just manipulating. And the crowd loving to have it so. Oh, we love this. That's sad. And then in Ezekiel, it talks about how they would listen to the real prophets, the good ones. So in Ezekiel 33, we read, "As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you, Ezekiel, beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, 'Please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord.' So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people and they hear your words, but they do not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. They hear your words, they love your words, but they don't do them." So it's almost like you go and you listen and you appreciate someone's talent. There's an entertainment factor to it. But you forget the message. It's just a lovely song. Come hear this guy sing. But there's no inward desire to take that message, to abide by it, to live by it. So you have this deadly, deadly combination in the last day of highly effective false teachers meeting, easily manipulated, led astray people. And the result is a falling away. A church that doesn't look like a church should look. Sad. Now, we're not going to be able to stop that. This is where we're headed. But can we at least slow it down? Can we make sure at least as Christians we're doing the right thing? Gang? What should the church be doing? Well, I love what Paul said to Timothy here in verse 1. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the what? Preach the word, be ready. Christian preachers, Christian leaders, Christian pastors, Bible study leaders, preach the word. All of it, study it, labor in it. He says convince, rebuke, exhort, with teaching, with all long-suffering. Those are all highly disciplined words where you are laboring in the word of God. You will not forsake it. That's my job as a pastor, to not forsake the Bible. As unpopular as it will get, I must continue to preach the word of God. And if you are a leader in church, if you're a pastor of a church, if, man, preach the word, all of the word, not some of the word, not just the passages you like. The Christian church must continue to preach the word. And what do Christians need to do? All of us. You call yourself a member of the body of Christ. Well, you need to be a student of the word. You need to know the word yourself. Amen? You need to know what the Bible says. In fact, there's coming a time, and it might even already be here. You call yourself a Christian, you're a member of the church. With this book, are you all in or what? Are you in? Or are you out? Are there parts that you're in and parts that you're out? Nah. This is the written word of God. This is the truth. Amen? This keeps us strong. Every word. Paul said in verse 16 of chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Bottom line, as we get closer and closer to the last days, this book will be thrown out. It already has by secular society, but it'll be more and more thrown out by Christianity land, church land. And many, many people will just easily be led astray. Let's not let that happen to us. Amen? Let's stay true. Let's stay true. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Father, I do pray. I do pray. We would stay true to you, to your word, no matter what the temptation may be to abandon. We want to stay true, strong, Lord, protect us from superficiality. Protect us from that ugliness. Make us deep. Lord, protect us from meaningless religion and ritual that offers nothing. Nothing. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I'd like to offer an invitation. You know, there's a lot of people that will be a part of the Christian system, the Christian religion, the culture in the last days. It'll just be a religious thing. It won't be a real thing. And those people will be so led astray. Don't miss the real. If you want to be a member of the church, it comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven, died for you, and rose again. And if you place your faith and trust in him personally, oh, you will You'll become a member of the church. You'll have his Holy Spirit within you. He'll give you a love and desire for the word. And you'll be protected. And you'll be used in a mighty way in your generation. If you've not received Christ, I want to lead you in a prayer right now. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I'm asking you to open your heart and let Jesus save you. And you watch and see what he does in you. If that's you, just you, in the quietness of your heart, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. I cry out to you, save me. I admit my sinfulness. I've blown it. I've hurt you. I've hurt others. Thank you for dying on the cross for all my sins, paying the price that I deserve to pay. I bow before you. I bend the knee. I surrender my life. You be the Lord. You be my master. You save me and help me and lead me. Help me to live for you all these days. Amen.